We're not going to cry. I don't think they might make us cry. But we're going to laugh. We're going to enjoy it. And then we'll be back on Saturday morning at 9:30. Child care is provided. You just need to let me know. If it's a couple, it's $15. Hey, look, it's not just for married people, right? It's not for married people. It's if you ever think you want to be married. Amen. If you'd like to be married, if you just are tired of being married, come on. Hello, that's somebody, somebody might be there. So join us, sign up in the back. We're going to be excited. It's going to be a good weekend. Amen. So we want to welcome Miss Laura, if you will. Put your hands together. Let's stand for Miss Laura as she comes. You're going to use this mic here.
Thank you. Oh, give Jesus a hand clap. Now that's deserving. Oh, y'all have a seat. I am absolutely thrilled to be here. You know, I was not going to say a lot of this, but I have to. You know, this isn't just home because I have my BFF here. And it's not just home because she's family. But, you know, I feel like I know so many of y'all. Now, she's not telling you secrets when we talk, but y'all friend me on Facebook. And so I know when your kids do stuff. Y'all put it on Facebook. You know, everything you put on there, but I know when your kids, graduate and when you graduate, I know all the stuff that's going on. And so I feel like I know you, and I'll call and I go, oh my God, she's pregnant. Cause you don't know that, but we prayed for you, And so I just, yes, I read all of Mr. Tom's stuff and I giggle. I think it's funny. Most of it. Yeah. I don't know, but to me this is home, and you guys are family, and I'm really excited about being here tonight, because as soon as they told me I was coming, and this never happens to me, but God dropped a message in me just right then, and he said months ago, so by now it should be good. I don't know, we'll see. I had months to work on it, but I really believe it's a now word for everyone in here. I don't believe that this word is going to be just for some people. I believe it's going to touch every one of you. And so we're going to get into that in a minute. Let me tell you real quick. I didn't bring books. I didn't bring media. I didn't do all that. But we have a daily email called The Move. And we send it out. How many of you get The Move? Raise your hand if you get The Move. All right. Woohoo. Oh, these are the people I talked to over here because I got more hands on this. It's a free email. It's a free, we're not asking for anything, but Philip puts his little nuggets. If you know Philip, he's like Nugget Man, okay? And he's always, his whole life, he's collected little sayings and little nuggets and things that say a whole lot in just a little bit. And so he's really good with that. These are things God's given him. I'm going to read you the one that came today for me. This is where I'm at. You can sign up for him, and there's 2 years. You get a new one every morning. Takes about 15 seconds if you read slow to do them. It's really, really, really easy. And so today it says, help, I need someone. When you're drenched in favor, people will come to your aid. No one can do life on their own. We all need help to do what God has called us to do. Favor will draw people to help you with your kingdom cause. That's it. That's it. It's something you can think about. I'm right now in the middle of the part about favor, but he touches everything. Second year is about leadership, and then he talks about marriage some. So there's just a lot in there. So I'm going to leave this up here, and I'm going to ask at the end if you will, if you want it, sign up. Just please print legibly so I can, read it and not have to pray in tongues to figure out what you said. So and Greg's tickled today. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? I just want to make sure that I deliver this exactly the way that he wants me to. Now, Father, we come before you. Father, I thank you for the worship that you laid down before I got into this pulpit. Father, thank you that the anointing is already here. Father, thank you that you gave me a word for them, not just a word, but a word for CCAM. Father, you gave me a word for them. And I believe it's no accident that I'm here in December as we're heading out of 2019 and going into 2020, that you're preparing them, that this month, when Ginger was talking about this month is a, you know, they're not going to limp into 2020, but Father, they're going to stand up, walk proudly into 2020 with vision, with hope, with healing, with love. They're going to walk in whole. And I believe tonight is the start of the part, is just a part of that, Father. Help me to say what you want me to say. Help me to communicate it right in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this message came several years ago. I was sitting on the front row with our pastors, and Pastor John was telling a story. Do y'all remember? Some of y'all are way too young, but in 1988, don't laugh, 1988, Oprah Winfrey drug a wagon across the stage on her show. Oprah Winfrey show was huge, okay? She drug this wagon and had 67 pounds of lard in it. And she said, "This is the weight that I've lost." Okay, I'm not preaching on weight, so just chill, okay? So stay with me. And so we're going to diet all of December. No. So she pulled this across, and she was so proud. She was, "This is a 67 pounds, man. I have lost 67 pounds. And she began to talk about that. Well, 2009 comes around, and she gets back on. She opens her show that day, and there's a panel of people behind her. And she comes out, and basically she says, "Look, I failed you. I failed you. I didn't keep the weight off, as you can tell. All 67's back." And she begins to tell who these people are. And one of them was her nutritionist. You know, somebody tell her exactly what to put in her mouth, what not to put in her mouth, how many ounces, you know, everything. Then you had the cook that cooked the food, you know. And then you had the trainer, the personal trainer. I mean, she had the best of the best. She had all of the tools. And so Pastor John, he said, "You know, she had all of the tools and she just couldn't get the victory." And as I was sitting there, I can't say in my lifetime that I've heard audibly the voice of God, but the most clear that I've ever heard, I heard him say, "It's not that she can't get the victory, it's that she can't keep the victory." And he said, "That's where so many people are in my church are at today." He said, they've gotten a victory, but they don't know how to keep it. If you know, Oprah lost and gained weight all time. Her issue was not that she couldn't get the victory. Her issue was that she couldn't keep the victory. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is about keeping the victory. Because, you know, getting the victory is one thing. But it's totally separate from keeping the victory. It's two completely different things. Getting the victory, that's God's part. Sure. Keeping the victory, that's your part. And, you know, we live in a society, we want to peel. I got this going on. I don't care that I got this going on. Just give me a pill and I'll be better. You know? Okay, I know that I'm really dealing with this, but if you'll just pray with me, I'll be okay. And so we're supposed to pray for you. You know, you get delivered, you get set free, and then you walk out the door and you never do anything. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. God does his part. He's faithful to do his part. But you have to be faithful to do your part. Amen? We all know somebody that's got a victory and that's lost it. And when you talk to that kind of person, you know what you're going to hear almost every time? "How did I get here again?" Now, when I said this, a lot of you, I guarantee you sit there and thought, "Well, she's talking about the big stuff, you know, like getting healed of cancer or, you know, drugs or something, just the big stuff." I'm talking about little stuff too. You know, as you walk with God, he delivers you of little stuff all the time. And it's not even little stuff, actually. It's just not the stuff that everybody can see. You know? Some of you, you know, you wouldn't know how to have a good relationship if God sent you a manual to your door from Amazon. You wouldn't know. And I'm talking about friends. You pick the worst friends. Oh my gosh. There's a bad friend. There's 1,000 people around you. There's one bad friend, and you're like a magnet drawn to them. Don't be pointing folks out. Now, that's rude. You pick, you know, You pick friends that aren't good for you. You pick friends that don't help you. You pick friends that treat you ugly. You pick friends that aren't there for you. You can't pick for... And there's some of you that can't pick a spouse, a romantic relationship. Oh, you're such a bum magnet. I mean, you just, you know, if he doesn't have a job, he doesn't have a car, you're like, I like him. Woo! Isn't he cute? You know, you got guys, and they look, and they got these girls. She got the mouth of a sailor. You know, she's got no boundaries. And you're looking, you go, oh, she's pretty. That's who I want to marry. You can't pick relationships. That's where you are. You got people that have got addictions. Now, there's all kinds of addictions. Now, when I say addictions, you might be thinking drugs, but I'm telling you, there's all kinds of addictions. Netflix. I mean, there's all kinds of addictions. You know, several years ago, God began to deal with me about one of my addictions. Oh, I love me some diet drinks. I started when I was really young on the pink Tab. You may remember the pink cans of Tab? Woo! Tab and tuna fish. Oh, yes. I love tuna fish sandwiches and Tab because I thought that was all diet stuff, you know. And then, of course, Diet Coke came out. And then the Holy Grail. Oh, I loved Fresca, too. Forgot about Fresca. Oh, I love Fresca. Oh, stop. Jesus, I'm redeemed. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm Diet Dr. Pepper. Oh, I just loved it. I loved it. Well, God began to deal with me to get off of Diet Dr. Pepper. I thought it was the devil. I mean, I'll be honest. I just knew it was the devil. But everywhere I turned, there it was. And I went in to see a doctor about some stuff I had going on in my body, and they said, "You don't drink diet drinks, do you?" I mean, you know, if you're supposed to drink 8 ounces of water, I thought, Diet Dr. Pepper's the same thing. And I am an overachiever. So much. And so, anyway, it kept going on, it kept going on. Finally, I read an article. I went to the doctor. And I had read an article, then I went to the doctor, and they said, "Look, I'm telling you, I'd rather you drink regular Coke, diet, and I'm sorry if you like Diet Coke, I'm just fixing to ruin it for you," but they said diet drinks, it's like putting poison in your body. Please never put it in your body again. Well, I was like, okay. So I walked out. I didn't really say anything. The next day, we were driving down, and I just felt I am supposed to lay it down, and I laid it down, y'all. I just quit. I mean, I just absolutely quit, didn't drink another Diet Dr. Pepper. I had no headache withdrawals. I had nothing. God had delivered me. I know it's funny, but God had delivered me. And so I did that for a little over a year. And then one day, I'd had a bad day. You know, one of those days, you know, you got 3 teenagers. I need a diet, Dr. Pepper. You know, and in Laura fashion, I drive up into Sonic, and I'd like to tell you I got a small... or medium. I'd like to even tell you I got a large. Philip said I could route 44 anything in the world. And I did, and I picked it up like I had never stopped. And I did again for I was back on it again. I mean, it was like, are you thirsty? Let's go to Sonic. And then, you know, just, oh, there's a Sonic app. It's just, it's hard. I'm delivered. But about in June, I went back to the doctor, and God had been dealing with me about it, but I went back to the doctor, had some other stuff going on, and he said the same thing. He said, "Seriously, are you putting that in your body?" I was like, you know, the dog, you know, uses the bathroom in your house, and you go, "Did you use the bathroom in the house?" And you go, the dog goes. He looked at me because he's just pretty intimidating. And I walked out, and I haven't had a Diet Dr. Pepper since June. And thank you, Jesus. So, You know, sometimes you got to start. Sometimes you mess up and you got to start over. You know, so I had to start over. What about fear? God ever delivered somebody from fear? Lying? Apathy? Or I wrote about anger. God ever delivered you from anger? Manipulation? Depression? Woo! That one was loud. That was for somebody. Shame, unworthiness, self-hatred, rejection, loneliness. Has God ever delivered you from these things? Health issues, debt. I'm having issues with this, aren't I? Oh, it's the podium? Okay. Greg. You know, debt was another one that, you know, that God delivered us from debt. You know, when we were in Bible school, we racked up, Philip and I were, we were at Rhema for 2 years, and we racked up about $3,000 by the time we'd graduated. Now, that didn't sound like a whole lot, but we made a lot of nothing, you know. So $3,000 was a lot of debt. And so we got to where we were going after Bible school, and I did what I knew to do. And that's what my mom did. And I went and took out a loan to pay it off so that I would have an end date. I thought that was so smart of me. What I didn't think to do was cut up my Discover card. So at the end of paying that off, that $3,000 off, we had over $6,000 on Discover. And I was like, this didn't seem to work. But see, I didn't change anything. I didn't change my revelation. I didn't change my knowledge. I didn't change anything that I did. And we'll come back to that story in a minute. I want to talk to you about what I'm going to, because I'm going to say a lot about deliverance today. When I'm talking about deliverance, I'm talking about anything that holds you in bondage. I laughed and said Diet Dr. Pepper, but let me tell you something. Bondage is anything that keeps you from the perfect will of God. Bondage is anything that keeps you from being all that God called you to be. Bondage is simply, I mean, it's simply anything that hinders your walk with God. And I'm going to tell you something, I don't want to be in bondage to anything. Anything. And we overlook things because we're like, well, it's not that big a deal. But let me tell you something, when the devil has a foothold in your life anywhere, it's bondage. And God didn't create you to live in bondage. Amen? I want to look at Galatians 5:1. And if you read Galatians 4, it's talking about getting free. Not being a slave and getting free. But Galatians 5:1, and I did it in the Amplified. It says, it was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, which you once removed. And I read that one day, and I'm telling you, that word again came off of the page. Like, slap me in the head. Again. God put that scripture in there because although it would be nice if we just got prayed for and walked out and we were delivered and healed and we never had to ever even think about that again. But God knew that that's not how the devil works. That is not how the devil works. You're gonna see things come back again and again and again. And God says in Galatians 5:1, don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So he's warning you, he's telling you, don't go back to Diet Dr. Pepper. Don't. Just don't. There's a lot of things in life that we turn around and we look back at. So I want to talk to you tonight about how to keep your victory, because there's three things that you need to know, three things that you need to do in order to keep your victory. Because we all, listen, we're all either, everybody sitting in here, you're either believing God to get delivered, to get set free, to get away from, to get out of a situation, a relationship, something going on in your life. You're either believing God to get set free from that, or you're trying to hold on to what he set you free from. You're one or the other. You're one or the other. At the end of this tonight, we're going to come up here and You're going to get a chance, because I'm telling you, there is an anointing to break yokes of bondage in this place tonight. Amen. And that's what God told me months ago. He gave me this message and he said, go in there and get people free. If you need freedom, you start getting ready, because you're going to come right over here. And I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of here free. You're not going to limp in 2020. It's time to take back some things that you've given up. You've allowed the devil to come back in and take them. Let me tell you something. Somebody comes up in your house and starts just putting stuff in their purse, and Chris, I don't even know what you would do. I don't even want to know what Chris would do. I just know I'm going to scream when I come to your house. I'm here. Somebody comes up into your house to take something that's yours. You wouldn't let them. Somebody comes to take something that is your children's. Would you let them? Oh, no, 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 no. You would be fighting mad. But we lay down and we just let the devil walk all over us. So many times in life. How do you keep your victory? How do you keep your victory? Number one, you have got to know that the enemy, the devil, however you want to say it, is going to return to see what you believe. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's going to come back to see what it is you believe. Happens all the time. All the time. In Phillips services, people get healed all the time. Y'all seen it here. People, my arm, I couldn't do this. I haven't been able to do this for 30 years. God set him free. God delivered him. God healed him right there. You come back and then, you know, you come back and sometimes people come to you and they'll say, look at this. I can do this now. It's even better. And then some people come back and they're like, I can't move this arm again. Would you pray for me again? What happened? Devil came back and said, did you get healed on Philip's faith and on his revelation, on his knowledge of the Word of God? Or do you know who I am? Did you get set free because somebody prayed for you? Or are you set free because you know that Christ has set you free? He's going to come back and ask. And you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to go, oh, I got a pain there again. Devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you're going to have to say it till that pain's gone.
That's right. That's right.
Again and again and again. If you don't, he'll just keep coming back. And you know this because you have battled certain things in your life over and over and over. You got to know that the enemy's going to come back. He's going to return to see what you believe. And you've got to answer for you. It's got to be what you know. Number two, you must establish what you believe. It's real simple. You got to establish what you believe. You're going to need to make an investment in that area. Let me tell you something. If you don't study, if you don't find out what the Word says, if you don't read about it, if you don't learn about it, if you don't know what God's got to say about it and about that subject, you're going to slip right back. You're going to slip right back because the devil's going to come and you ain't going to have anything to say. You're just gonna look at him. Well, he said I was healed. Who said you were healed? The devil's gonna go, who said you were healed? Yeah. Well, Philip said I was healed, or Pastor Paul said I was healed. Well, where are they at? That's what the devil will do. Where are they at? You still feeling that pain, aren't you? Well, yeah, I'm still feeling that pain. Maybe I'm not healed. Oh, maybe I'm not healed. I don't know. I don't know if I'm healed. I still feel pain. And you start doubting. And then fear comes in. You got to know. You got to establish what you believe. You know, when we paid off that credit card, and then we had $6,000. We were in Magnolia, Arkansas, and we were going to move down to the camp. We had $6,000 in debt. Y'all, we weren't making hardly anything. So $6,000 was just, I guess we were partying. I don't know what we were doing. I'm telling you. You would think I would have dressed like Queen Elizabeth if I had that much debt. I don't know. But, you know, we got down to the camp, and I said, I can't do this again because that didn't work. I was at least smart enough to know that. I was smart enough to know that I went and paid it off by a loan, but I charged it back up. So that's when I began to invest into this subject. I began to research. I began to find out, what does the Word say about debt? What does the Word say about money? I got books. John Avanzini was huge at that time. And he talked about getting out of debt. I was consuming everything. Everything. And then all of a sudden, God gave Philip a plan. He gave him a plan to help us get out of debt. Well, we knew that he spoke to him and he said, you're not going to be able to do what you want to do until you get out of debt. And so he knew we had to do something. And so I was studying. I mean, I was only doing what I knew. You know, you could only do what you know. You do what you've seen your parents do. You do what you've seen other people do. You only know what you know. I don't want to know what I know. I want to know what smart people know. You know? I want to pick smart people's brain. Here, let me go get Joel. No, just kidding. I want to be around people who know more on a subject than I do. I want to ask questions. I want to read. You know, because if you don't do that, you're only going to know what you know. And it didn't work. And so I began to study, I began to research, and we got out of debt and began to build a nest, which was what allowed us to leave and have money in the bank. So you gotta establish what you believe. And I'll tell you that we're 30 years down the road, it's still part of my diet. I would love to tell you we got out of debt. I never made any other mistakes. We've just been completely debt-free. Because when I quit having that as part of my diet, I can slip back real easily. You know, you can when you quit studying something that you have an issue with, it's real easy to slip back. You have to push forward. You always have to have that something. I don't read about it every day, all day. But I have a little bit of it that I'm trying to figure out, okay, what else do I not know? And let me tell you, I don't know about other things, but in the world of finance, it changes all the time. You got to keep up with that. When I taught a class on finances out at TBI all those years ago, they didn't have internet banking. How many of you could not live without internet banking? You know, most people do everything on the internet now. And so you must establish what you believe. What's your foundation? What is your foundation? What's your revelation? Listen, if God delivered you out of something, what is your revelation of it? You're only going to live your revelation. You're not going to live my revelation. You're not living Pastor Ginger's revelation. You're not living Miss Angel's revelation. They can get up here and say something all day long, and you can amen it and say it sounds good. But until it's revelation to you, until it's knowledge to you, until it goes from your head to your heart, you're just going to walk in what you know. And that's all you can do. So if you've got an area in your life, let's take fear. You really deal with fear. You really deal with fear. God delivers you from fear. And then you never study anything about fear. You never read anything about fear. You never force yourself to do anything. How are you going to stay delivered? What about anger? Okay, God delivers you from anger, but then you never do anything else. You never talk to anybody else, and you let it build up, and all of a sudden you explode. Why? Because you don't know what you believe on that subject. What you believe is what the Word of God says. That's real simple. What does the Word of God say about it? That's what you believe. Period. If it's not in the Word, that's why you've got to dig for yourself. You got to dig for yourself. I know it's easy to turn YouTube on, and all that's great. I'm not against that. Watch anybody and everybody that says the right stuff. Make sure they ain't flaky. Yeah. Make sure you ain't just listening to anything and everybody. It's got to line up with the Word of God. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Pastor Paul or Miss Ginger. If it doesn't line up, and they would say that it's not just me. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's wrong. Period. Right? It's got to line up with the Word of God. What? Number one, you must know that the enemy, the devil, is going to come back to see what you believe. Number two, you got to figure out what it is you believe. What you're willing to die for. What your convictions. Because what you believe, if it's not something that you would die for, then it's just a belief. It's not a conviction. It's not really who you are. Number three, you got to stay in an atmosphere of victory. And that's pretty simple, guys. Stay around people who believe like you believe. Stay around people who are victorious. Don't just stay around people who are just like you. Oh, we have the same testimony. You probably aren't that great for each other. You need somebody that's going to rub you the wrong way a little bit and it's going to call you on your stuff. You know? You need somebody that's going to hold you accountable, that's going to challenge you. If you're just hanging around people that are just like you, guess what? Ain't going to be no growth. You know? And then what you do is you get together and start, oh, you remember when we used to do this? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And then the next thing you know, you're doing that. You didn't have any business. I'm not saying you can't be around those people, but that don't need to be your ride or die. You need to have people that are poor. You need to have people that are pouring into you, and you need to have people that you're pouring into.
Amen. Amen.
You need to be in church. I know. I said it. This is where you find out what you believe. This is where you got people that'll hook up their arms with you and help you walk through some of the mess you're walking through. This is where you get people that will help you pray through it, and that will look at you and go, I know what you're doing. Now, you might not be, no, nobody else may be knowing it, but I know what you're doing, and you better quit.
Yeah.
Right? You have to have somebody that will look at you and go, I love you too much to let you stay here. Those are the people that you get the maddest at, that you get so frustrated with. It's because you're making excuses, you know. I mean, they just don't know what I've been through. Yes, they do. But they know who the healer is. They know who the deliverer is. They see in you what you can't see in yourself. Oh, I can't tell you the people that I've looked at, and they just, if they could see themselves the way that I see them, the way that Jesus sees them, they can't. They can't. You gotta stay around people who are victorious. You gotta stay in a place that's not comfortable. Oh, let me tell you something. Comfort is your enemy. Oh, comfort is your enemy. I promise you, when Miss Ginger went to the jail the first time, that was not her comfort zone. She was not her comfort zone. But she stepped out of her comfort zone. When you step out of your comfort zone, you step into a Jesus zone. God cannot work in your comfort. God can't change things in your comfort. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You know, when we were at the Bible school, the students, we would have weekend retreats, you know, and there'd be a move of God. We'd have a youth retreat. I'm telling you, folks slaying everywhere, just crying, boo-hoo, bawling, you know, just, I'm sorry, I called you an ugly name. I mean, they're just repenting. They're just, you know, they come to Philip. They would come to me, and they would go, I didn't tell you, but I cheated on 3 tests, and I drank, and I did this. They just tell everything. And they would get up and they'd be like, I'm just as light as a feather. It's so wonderful. God touched me so much this weekend. And then the camp would leave. And they would have Saturday night and Sunday And then we had classes sometimes on Monday. And it's amazing after a move of God. Monday morning we get in. Oh, well, so-and-so went home and slept with so-and-so. No. She was at the altar boo-hooing and crying. Oh, well, you know, they all went down and did this and did that. And we get him in the office, and Philip would be like, I mean, you just have to know Philip. He'd get him in the office, and he was pretty intimidating. And he'd get him and go, weren't you at the altar? Uh-huh. Didn't God touch you? Uh-huh. Did you go do what I heard you went to do? Uh-huh. I would say we weren't shocked, but I'm telling you, sometimes you just get shocked with that. And we'd say, why did you do that? Why did they do that? Because it was all that they knew. They got delivered. But the enemy came. They didn't know what they believed. And they were in a comfort zone. They were right back with friends they shouldn't have been with. They were right back in a place they should have never been. They opened themselves up. Why? Because the enemy comes immediately to steal, kill, and destroy. And camp wouldn't be let out good. They would be exhausted. Oh, Miss Laura, I haven't slept but like an hour in 5 days. I'm so tired. Camp's over. Whoa, where are we going? I'm like, where'd that energy come from? They couldn't clean a dorm. Where'd that energy? And they would get right back. They would slide right back into their comfort zone because it's all they knew. You can't stay in a place that's all that you know. You have got to step out. You have got to say, God, you delivered me. I'm going to do my part. When the enemy comes back, I'm going to know. I'm going to know it's him coming. Because that's what's amazing to me. When the enemy comes back and people will be like, I just don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, Brother Philip. We got to her house and I don't know. And her parents weren't there. Did you know her parents weren't going to be there? Uh-huh. What do you mean you don't know what happened? You knew before you left what was going to happen. Right? You got to get out of a comfort zone. You got to stay around people who encourage you. You got to stay close to a church that's preaching the Word of God, that is not compromising, that is not watering it down, but that is facing you with reality of life and the reality of what's going on in your life. That's where you find growth. That's where you find growth. That's where you get up and you do it long enough. Listen, you stay around something long enough, your appetites begin to change. Your appetites for the wrong friends begin to change. Your appetites for the wrong relationships. Your appetite for pity and sorrow. All of that begins to change. Why does it begin to change? Because the Word of God will change you. You stay around people that know the Word of God, that speak the Word of God, that live the Word of God. It changed them and it will change you. Amen? It'll change you. Now, let me give you this because we're fixing to close. Let me tell you something. God loves you so much, He doesn't want you to stay there. But it's not just for you. God will never bring you through something that He won't use you to bring others out of. He wants you healed and whole. He wants you delivered for you because He loves you. But then He wants you to get whole enough that you can turn around and you see the line of people behind you that are dealing with the same things. And only you can speak to them because you've been through it. They will listen to you. They will listen to what you say. They will respect you. And they will listen to what God did in your life. It will give them hope for what God can do in their life. You look behind you and there's a line of people. And they're waiting for you to get delivered. They're waiting for you to get set free. They're waiting. So when you get that and you get a hold of it, you get a revelation of it and you go, oh, God delivered me from fear. Let me tell you something. I have a revelation on fear. I hate fear. I hate fear. Fear is crippling. And I have a hatred for fear. Usually when I preach, I end up preaching and it goes somewhere toward fear. Because I hate it. The things I talked about that you deal with, you've got to get to a place where you hate it. Because as long as you don't hate it, you'll play with it. As long, listen. Listen, as long as you play with something and you don't hate it, oh, let me tell you something. You'll go right back to it. You will go right back to it. You've got to get to a place where you hate it. I hate fear. I have seen fear grip people. I mean, I'm not talking about the fear like boo fear. I'm talking about that fear that they can't hardly get out of bed. Fear of what people think about them. Fear that they're going to fail in life. Fear that they're going to succeed in life. Fear that just, I mean, everything about their life is fear. I hate that. You got to get to where you hate what you're dealing with. So as I've been talking, I know that God's brought something in your life that He's either been dealing with you about, and you're either one or the other. You're either the person that's going to come up here and say, look, I need deliverance. Don't get scared of that word. You can use whatever word you want. I need a breakthrough. I need a touch from God. You can use whatever word you want to use. But you need not to be dealing with that anymore, right? That's deliverance, period. So you need deliverance. You need God to touch your life. You need Him to heal your body. You need Him to help in your finances. You've got something that's going on, and you know specifically, the whole time I was talking, you knew exactly what I was talking about, what God's been dealing with you. Or you're the person over here. God delivered you from stuff, and you looked up, and you've kind of let it slide a little bit. Just a little. You're not in some big, horrible sin, but, you know, you hadn't got a hold of rejection like you did. You kind of let that creep in a little bit. It's time to get it out. It's time to get it out. Stand to your feet. I do believe you're one or the other. I believe the people over here can come and you can get with God. You can repent. Repent just means saying, I'm sorry. Not going to do it again. I'm going to take back what's mine. Thank you, God, for delivering me from whatever. I'm going to keep it. Not allowing it to get back on me. You can handle that. But if you want God to intervene in your life, and any of those things I mentioned and any of the things I didn't mention, and you want God to touch your life, I want you to come up here. Just a minute, we're going to play a song, and I've just had this song rolling. You know, I can't sing, truly can't sing at all. But God uses music a lot with me. He puts a song, and I can't get it off of me. It's really, really strong. I just can't get it off of me. It'll roll. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and it'll be rolling. And this is a song. It's called Chains Breaking, I think. Chains Break. Huh? Chain breaker, something like that. It's about breaking chains. And if you have chains on you, that's bondage. I want you over here. I'm going to lay hands on you. There is an anointing on me tonight. I'm telling you that you can get free. You can get free of it. And when you get free, what are you going to do? You're going to know the enemy's coming. You're going to recognize him and rebuke him and tell him to go away. You're going to learn what you need to learn and what you believe about it. And you're going to hang around the right people. You're going to get connected with people who will kick your booty when you don't do the right thing. It's that simple, guys. Let's play that song. Altars are open.